Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our current series of studies, The Christian Walk. And the Christian walk is our daily lives. It's not the matter of soaring unto the heavens in our worship or running intensely in our service. It's our everyday life. We spend most of our time just simply living in a mundane, humdrum world. And indeed, that time is the most valuable time we can possibly spend. The Bible has so much to say about the walk, the Christian walk, or the Christian life. And just as a review, the Christian walk is a walk in newness of life, a whole new sphere when we're saved. It's a walk in faith, a whole new principle. It's a walk in love, a whole new attitude. It's a walk in the Spirit, a new power. And today, with the help of the Lord, we want to talk about a walk in consistency, one new standard for all. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," that is, mature, "as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, and if anything else, anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Now notice, please, here, the Apostle Paul is writing to his beloved Philippians, and he uses this all-inclusive pronoun, us. We're all in this thing together. There's no clergy and lady as far as the Apostle Paul is concerned. Now, according to his religion, before God saved his soul, there was a distinction. You remember in the early days in Israel's history, there was a very clean-cut distinction between the priesthood and the ordinary Israelite. The priest came from one family. You could not attain to the priesthood by your own choice. You had to be born into the family of Aaron. And there was a whole set of rules. There was no walk, for them that was a walk of consistency. They had their own rules. They had their own standard, even to their marriage. You read of this in the book of Leviticus. Now, that to a certain extent, that hierarchy of the priesthood, that division among the people of God, carried over into the New Testament days, into Christendom today, as what we know as the clergy and the laity. Now, the Apostle Paul is speaking against this. He says, "Let us therefore, as many as be mature." It's not a matter of ecclesiastical designation. It's a matter of Christian maturity. And he says, "Let's be thus minded, altogether of the same mind, and if anything else ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." And notice, please, again, "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." Let us mind the same thing. One standard for all. No double standard in Christianity. Now, the Apostle Paul, this is his admonition, and his life was an example. He wanted and needed interchange with the Christians at Rome. We read in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. "For I long to see you." Paul hadn't seen the Roman Christians yet. He says, "I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Now notice what this great man says, this great Apostle Paul. He says that I may be comforted with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. He did not hold himself above those Christians. He told those Christians at Rome, you have a contribution to make to me. And I want that contribution. I have a contribution to make to you. And that's the truth of Paul in his wonderful treatise on the church. We're a body. One part contributes to the other part in the body. It isn't all head. It isn't all feet. The body is a whole, and he taught it both in Romans and in 1 Corinthians. And now here he goes and tells these Romans in his wonderful humility that I might be comforted with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And I suppose the Romans would say, what can we contribute to the Apostle Paul? That apostle who has received revelation straight from the Lord, what can we contribute to him? And you know, that was wrong. They were making a double standard out of it, weren't they? He lives by one standard, and we have to live on a lower level. No, that's not true. Paul includes himself right along with these dear Roman Christians. And he says he would not tolerate a double standard. And he does the same thing at Philippi. We've just read it. Whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now, Paul's life was an example of this. He served the Corinthians without financial support from them at all. We read this in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 8 to 12. And he says, I would not be burdensome to you. I would not. He treated them as a father does treats his children. And he says, I didn't demand anything of you. I paid my way. And indeed, in the book of Acts, we see there, in that chapter of the book of Acts, the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, where he went to Corinth, he found there Aquila and Priscilla, who had been driven out of Rome, incidentally, and they were tent makers, and Paul joined them. That was his trade. He made tents and supported himself when he taught the Corinthians there at Corinth. Paul did not assume the fact that he had to be supported from them. Not at all. His example was a life of unselfishness. We live by the same rule. We're all in this thing together. We're all of the same body. And I'm not the head and you're not the feet. And that is what he's saying. And indeed, Peter, in his epistle, follows a similar train of thought as the Apostle Paul. Now we read in Peter's epistle, chapter 5, verse 1, just listen to what Peter, that great man to whom the Lord gave so much responsibilities, gave him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. He opened the door of faith to the Jews. This great man, Peter, listen to him, please. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Now, it's true, the church of God is divided into pastors or shepherds and sheep. But the distinction is not an ecclesiastical distinction. It's one of spiritual maturity. The shepherds, when they were born again, when they were born into the family of God, they were children, just the same as anybody else. But they went on in their studies. They went on in their preparation. They went on in their maturity. Now, Peter is telling these people, don't be lords over God's heritage. The Lord is in heaven. He is the Lord. You be a helper. You be a shepherd. You be one who helps the people of God. And he indeed is speaking of spiritual maturity, not ecclesiastical distinction. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his admonition there in Philippians chapter 3, is trying to bring us up to the level of maturity. And he says, we don't have a double standard. We all are in this thing together. I think of the of a newspaper article that I saw in Boulder, Colorado, years ago. A large church in the city of Boulder had what they called Layman Sunday. And the layman of the congregation took over the service for that Sunday, and they made a statement in that newspaper article that I shall never forget. Christianity was a layman movement. Now, perhaps they were not correct in making that statement, because they were preserving the distinction. But nevertheless, it was true, because we read in Acts chapter 11, and I just want to read that. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, who are these people? There's not a single named person among them. They were Christians that were scattered abroad by the reason of the persecution of Stephen, and they just peddled their faith. Just ordinary Christians, so to speak. And so the church at Jerusalem sent Barnabas up there, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was jealous because he had no part in it. You better not believe it. Let's read the scripture, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, what we're teaching here in this portion of scripture, and what Paul would have us teach, we all live by the same standards. We're all witnesses, and we leave that so many times to the preacher as being the witness. Well, that's what he's paid for. Well, not in the Word of God. We're all in this thing together. We are witnesses to the glory of God, each and every one of us. And let's assume our responsibilities and not leave it to the pastor, not leave it to one man. We're in this thing together to spread the name and fame of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we heed Paul's admonition, walk in consistency, one new standard for all. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, make these truths real to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.